I'd like to call this meeting to order, the meeting of the Legislative Commission on Minnesota Sports Facilities. Hello, everybody. I'm Senator Rosen, Julie Rosen, from District 23. I serve about almost seven counties down there, and it's very good to see everybody here. We have a quorum, I should say, for the record. It's good to chair this with Senator Bobby Joe Champion and see my old friends here. We have a pretty good agenda. I was not able to make it to the last meeting, unfortunately, and I'm anxious to hear the progress on the stadium and what's happening there. Before we get started, though, with Michelle Kumpelgen, I would like to have a motion to approve the meeting minutes from October 7th.
I'll move those, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Hoppe. All approved?
Aye.
Okay.
With that, Michelle, would you like to come up?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to be here. I'll just jump right in. I know how busy everyone is. At the last meeting, there was some discussion about the financing, and I thought I'd include a overhead in my presentation, of which you have copies on, and just remind everybody of the revenue and kind of where we sit and what the splits are. And I know Lester can try to clarify it further if there's additional questions. But essentially, the city and state combined, our investment has stayed the same at $498 million. The investment, however, on the other side of the ledger with the private investment has increased. So the Vikings have now contributed from their original dollar amount. They have contributed $1.4 million in addition to the original $477 million. In addition to the fact that we have $10 million from Aramark, that is our concessionaire, an additional contribution from our operator of $2 million, putting the total private contribution at $589 million, and again, the state staying at $498 million. So that does bring the total investment to over $1 billion. Just quickly to give you a little update on the project and where it sits. As you can see from the photograph here, I apologize for the fact that the televisions are behind you, but hopefully
no,
you can.
There's one up here, too.
Oh, is there one?
Yeah.
Okay, got
they're
it.
Behind you.
Oh, good. Okay, thank you. So Mortenson has the building fully enclosed now with temporary sheeting over the glass wall so that they can start the finishes as the weather gets colder, if it does get cold. There, the five pivot doors, you can see the framework, the steel framework for those doors is already put in place, and they'll be installing those over the course of the winter. Again, you'll see that at the peak will be an outdoor LED board that the team has paid for that will allow for video streaming of various things for high school football, soccer, as well as the Viking events, concerts, anything that's done in the stadium. Again, this is another view of the front of the building, and you can see the side of the building is also being completed. And just kind of moving through the building, this is the east side of the building on 11th Avenue. And this is the 6th Street side of the building. The city has now completed their contraflow lane. I think most of you know that aside from the stadium, Department of Transportation had decided to reroute traffic from the 5th Street exit downtown over to 7th Street. That decision was actually made when the 35W bridge was reconstructed. That is actually being done now, and the 7th Street exit will eventually be open, like this summer, as I understand it. So in order to have traffic, especially for HCMC, for the medical center, the city has put in place along 6th Street a contraflow lane, which you can actually see here in the photograph. So there are cones set up, and there now is a lane of traffic on 6th Street coming into the city so that there is access both directions to the
Madam Chair,
Hennepin County facility.
Excuse me, Michelle. Yes, Senator Bonner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Kelm-Halgen. So are you saying that lane will actually go the opposite direction of the rest of the traffic? So instead
right.
of going just all the
west into
okay.
the city.
And that's to have access to HCMC?
Primarily. So right now you will, or right now people come off 5th Street
right.
still, and they come to 11th Avenue, and then they can turn right,
right.
and actually go west on 6th Street. Eventually, when the road work is done by Department of Transportation, the traffic will all come off 7th Street, but people could turn right on 11th Avenue and then left to go west on 6th Street to keep that access.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. At this point, you will notice, I will show you a photograph of the Wells Fargo towers that are being built. As far as the housing in front of those towers and on the back of the park space, you can see here, this is a photograph now that the Tribune buildings are down, and you can see the construction happening in the commons in that park area. And then you see the Wells Fargo towers with all that housing that is well under construction. These Wells Fargo towers, one will be completed in like the January time frame, the other one in March. In addition, they have announced Radisson Hotel is building a new hotel behind that first Wells Fargo tower, and Ryan Development is actually building a new headquarters behind the other Wells Fargo tower. So even since the last time I was before you, there's probably another $100 million in private investment that's well on its way. In fact, we have Radisson and Ryan coming to our board meeting on Friday to talk in more detail about the project. This shows you the skyway that comes from the stadium into our parking garage and then into those Wells Fargo towers and on to the downtown core. As of November, we hit the high point for workers on our site, over 1,400 workers were on the site at that point, and we still have, as we talked about, over 300 businesses that are part of our project. 90% of our construction budget has stayed with Minnesota companies. And then, as I mentioned, over $1 billion in private investment is already not only planned, but actually under construction in this area. And then, of course, there's the Super Bowl and Final Four that are committed that will bring additional economic development to the area or economic impact. We continue to meet the workforce minority and women goals that were set, both for the workers as well as for the businesses. And you see here, 32% was the goal for minority workers. We're at 37%. 6% goal for women. We're at 9%. And for businesses, our goal was 11% women-owned businesses. We're currently at 17%. And similarly, 9% goal for minority businesses. We're at 12%. And then we have some additional veteran, not only workers, but businesses as well.
Ms. Kelm-Halgen.
Yes.
We do have a question. Mm-hmm. Representative Dean.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Ms. Kelm-Halgen. So when we look at the construction business goals, you give us sort of the percentages. Have you broken down actually contract value relative to women and minorities?
Yes. Yes, we have. We can get you that.
That would be good.
I mean, just the rough calculation, if you do it, you look at the construction budget expended to date, and you take that percentage, and that's how you get it. But I would be glad to give you the detail of that. I can provide that through Alex Tittle, who's our equity director, can send you that information.
Great. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yes.
Ms. Kelm-Helgen, it's been a while since I had a gavel in my hand, and I really should have gone around the room and had everybody introduce themselves and where they're from. I think that would be probably appropriate. So we'll start with Senator Tomasoni.
Already introduced, see? David Tomasoni.
Where are you from?
From Chisholm.
Terry Bonoff, representing the northern part of Minnetonka, most of Plymouth and the city of Woodland.
Bobby Champion, Senate District 59, which is downtown east, the North Loop, North Minneapolis, and half of Bryn Mawr.
Representative Dean? Representative Dean, 59B, and I represent the south half of Bobby Joe Champion Senate seat.
Representative Jim Davney, South Minneapolis.
Representative John Applebaum, I represent the southern half of Senator Bonoff's seat.
I'm Joe Hoppe from Chaska.
Representative Peggy Scott, I represent Andover, northern Coon Rapids, and a little bit of Ramsey.
Chris Wozinski, 16A, Southwest Minnesota Marshall.
Thank you. Yeah, my apologies. I should have.
Oh, no worries.
But looking forward to the rest of your presentation. Thank you.
So this is just a photograph of the rendering, and then this gives you a sense of how far that's kind of taken from the same position. So you can see the progress that has been made. So I think it was mentioned earlier in the press, at least, that the scoreboards and all the technology is going in. I just always try to remind people that things like, for example, the technology, which is a major package, close to probably by the time it's all said and done, it'll be close to $8 to $10 million in contract value. And that contract is being handled by Dectronix. And, of course, we put out the bids. Everything goes out to bid, and it's competitively bid. But Dectronix is a good example. There were no big technology companies in Minnesota that were capable of handling all this work. But Dectronix, which is a South Dakota company, has a plant in Redwood Falls. So as part of their bid, they very, I think, wisely included in their bid, if you select us, we will manufacture all of the panels, all of the technology for the scoreboards, the ribbon boards, everything that's going in, the outside LED board at our facility in Redwood Falls. And they added 30,000 square feet to their facility to handle this work, close to 100 additional workers. And that is not only permanent space addition, but looks like is going to be a permanent workforce addition as well. So I think it's really important to remember the impact that this projects like this have, not only in Minneapolis, but really all over the state. You know, Viracon is doing the glass. They're in Owatonna. So the work is, when we talk Minnesota companies, it's Minnesota businesses from all over the state. This shows you, this actually is a view, again, a rendering of that scoreboard on the east side of the building. You can see the frame of that. And here you can see the work that Dactronix has done in putting on those panels, because I believe that scoreboard, that picture was taken last week, but I believe now it's almost completed. So you get a sense of just, there's seats in the building, there's technology going in, you can see the ETFE, the entire roof is done, and you get a good sense of what's there. There are six club areas in the building that we always highlight, because all those club spaces are available for the authority to rent throughout the year. The Vikings obviously are our most important tenant, but they are there for their 10 games plus hopefully two playoff games every year. Other than that, it's essentially the authority, the state of Minnesota, has the rental revenue as well as the opportunity to use this for all of the high school and college events that will be held in this stadium. And Club Purple is one example of a club that is a very unique offering that we have. In addition to this lounge seating in the stadium bowl, There is restaurant space behind it, and then there's an outdoor patio that overlooks the downtown with a fire pit and a bar out there. And this is probably one of the spaces that we already are getting a lot of rental contracts for because people are really interested in it. The Viking Club is our largest club, 30,000 square feet. We've got a lot of reservations for this club. This is the club that essentially the entire wall of glass retracts. The team, I believe, paid for that retractable glass so that it opens to the stadium bowl. And on the other side is a view to the downtown. So we're getting, this shows you can see this is finished space. And it's amazing to see now as these interior spaces are finished, just really what this stadium is actually going to be looking like. So this gives you a sense of it. So we've got six of these clubs throughout the stadium, and they are all spaces that our sales and marketing team are out marketing, and we're getting weddings, we're getting corporate events, nonprofit groups with dinners, a lot of corporate meetings that are all being booked in all these various spaces. This is the field club that is under construction. There are two clubs on the upper level. One is called the Ice Club on the north side of the stadium. And then there's a sister club, the Fire Club, on the south side of the stadium. Our construction is over 80% complete, and we are definitely on schedule for the grand opening in July. Actually, we will take ownership in July and probably have the grand opening early August of 2016, but we are definitely on schedule. And then I just always remind people it was only February of 2014 that the stadium was still, the old Metrodome was still standing, and obviously it's a much different kind of building today. Here's a photograph of those operable doors that will open to the outside. Here's you can see the retractable seating in order to accommodate high school and college baseball in the stadium. We have 32 rows of retractable seats so that when we have a baseball game, you can retract those seats on the north side of the stadium for the right field line that we need in order to play a baseball game. So we will literally run 24 hours a day, just like we did in the Metrodome, hundreds of baseball games for not only the University of Minnesota in the spring, but many high schools, private schools, two-year colleges, schools all over the state use this so they don't have, in the case of colleges, that they don't have to travel out of state to get their spring games in. And for high schools, obviously, so they can actually play their spring games. And we will still accommodate that. So, again, this gives you a view of that retractable seating going in that entire section of the stadium. And here you actually see it from the side. It'll be very sturdy. Nobody will ever realize they're sitting on retractable seats. But I think it'll be... It also is a big advantage that we have in that it will give us one of the largest floor areas for conventions and floor shows that could be held throughout the year, having that very large floor space that comes into play in addition to the opportunity for baseball. And this shows you a view of the ETFE, and this shows you the front of the building, as I say, that actually now has temporary sheeting over it and is enclosed. And this gives you kind of a sense of the progress that's being made. And that's about it. Are there questions?
Thank you, Ms. Helmhoven. And I should say, too, that Senator Miller is on the telephone. He was trying to come up. and it got pretty bad around Rochester, so he turned back, but he's available also. And besides Ms. Kelmhelgen, we'll also have Lester Backley as your itinerary, and we will be electing officers or chairs at this point later on. But are there any questions for Ms. Kelmhelgen?
Okay, I'll be here.
No, well, actually, I have a couple.
Oh, great.
I saw that you are headed to Houston. Is that tomorrow or Wednesday?
Yes,
what is
tomorrow.
The purpose of that? To see that new stadium and to see?
Right. Well, Houston has a multi-purpose stadium similar to ours. They've been around they've had that stadium operating for about 7 years, I believe. Don't hold me to that, but it's relatively new. And what we're trying to do is we look at the operations of the stadium. We're really focusing on what kind of capital requirements we're going to be needing. Because the one thing that we have definitely gotten the message on is that with the state and obviously the private investment as well, with the investment in this stadium, we want to make sure that we keep it up to standards so that the building doesn't become obsolete or outdated, you know, in some years. So what we're trying to do is take a look at what other stadiums have done or maybe haven't done and really identify, you know, saying to people, what would you have done differently if you could make some changes from the beginning, and where are you at in your capital plan, and what kind of investments are you making at this point? So SMG is the operator that we have hired to operate our stadium. They also operate Houston, and they've got a public authority that also operates the stadium similar to us. So we are touring the stadium and talking with their staff about how the operations have gone, and in particular trying to focus on the capital investment and what's going to be required and what things they're seeing are coming up, you know, early in the time and then projected as they go. So I think that's right now one of the things we're really focusing on.
So with that, Ms. Kelmhelgen, do you have to, I don't know, in the old Metrodome, if you had the ability to book events like you are being able to utilize the space in a much different manner than what we did in the Metrodome. Obviously, you're getting the contracts back from the high schools, although those are kind of revenue neutral. Is that correct?
They pay nothing. For the high school football and soccer, girls and boys soccer, we provide that per the legislation at no cost to the state high school league. Baseball, we do get a fee for it, but it is obviously much reduced and subsidized, similar to what was done in the Metrodome.
Right, that was a big part of it. Was the Metrodome used in that capacity at all for events like weddings or conventions or anything at all?
No, because we really didn't have the club spaces for any of that. And, you know, really by the time, if you think about sort of the life cycle of the building, early on, and this is what we want to make sure we can continue, early on in the Metrodome, they did do some concerts, but the acoustics were never good. And then it became outdated from that kind of a venue very quickly. We want to make sure that doesn't happen here. The same thing was true with Final Four and Super Bowl. They hosted it early on, and then, gosh, 15 years ago, the building really started to become outdated. And that's when the NCAA said, sorry, we just can't, you really aren't competitive anymore. We don't want that to happen. We've got a 30-year lease with the Vikings, renewable for another 10 years. We want to keep this building vital and viable and operating. We're really looking out to 50 years. I think if we do it right and we manage it correctly, it's possible to do.
Mm-hmm. A couple more. Anybody else? Okay, keep rolling.
Okay.
I know you've got the Super Bowl and the NCAA Final Four. What else? I know we missed one, but do you have any other applications in for any other big events coming?
No, not right now. The only other one that we had a bid in for was the college football playoffs. That really was a combination of, or primarily what they told us, and I understand it. They said, you know, we really, they had a three-year bid cycle, 18, 19, and 20. We could only bid on 20 because we had Super Bowl in 18 and Final Four in 19, so we could only bid on one of the 3 years. And they essentially said, we don't really want to be your third event. Come back to us when we have our next bidding cycle. I think they look at it like, you know, there's kind of a group of people that maybe go to a lot of these events, particularly corporations. And with people coming for Super Bowl and then Final Four, I think the thinking was, you know, maybe having a break in there might be good. They're, however, very interested in our stadium, and I do think that that's one event that we will get eventually. And, of course, Final Four. I mean, the NCAA has been very clear that assuming we do a good job, there are very few indoor stadiums, you know, like with Super Bowl and college football, they can obviously go to a warm weather climate and play outside. So they have many different options as to where they can play those games. With Final Four, obviously, they can only go to indoor multi-purpose stadiums, and there just aren't as many, and especially those that are state-of-the-art. So assuming we do a good job, and I guarantee you we will absolutely do a great job, that becomes an event that we will get repeatedly, you know, over the cycle of, you know, 3, 4, 5 years. Yeah. So that's a relationship we're really focused on, and that we will work hard to make sure we make that a superior event so that we keep bringing them back.
Mm-hmm. And this might be a difficult question, but I get this question in my district. Is it the ETFE?
Yeah.
Is that still the state-of-the-art material? That has, and we, of course, have chosen that.
Yes.
Is that still state-of-the-art? It's not going to become outdated?
No.
Okay.
You know, the good thing, ETFE, by the way, just stands for, it's the name of a chemical compound, and it's kind of a plastic polymer kind of a material, but it's also held up. There's a steel structure that actually is in place to hold it up. So unlike the Metrodome roof that was simply fabric, and when there was a problem with it, as we saw, and a hole or something develops, the whole roof comes down and has to be replaced. The ETFE is different. It's in large panels. The other thing is, while it really has not been used to any great extent in North America, this will definitely attract a lot of attention because it is the largest installation, at least within the United States. It's been used extensively in Europe and New Zealand for over 30 years. So we know the properties, we know the durability, we know. And now you're starting to see the Atlanta Falcons, actually, in their new stadium that they're being built, that's about a year behind us, is putting some ETFE in their roof. So I think based on our work and once this is up, I think others will potentially follow. But I think it's going to be definitely one of our signature pieces of this building that's going to attract a lot of attention. And when you stand, even now, as that material is being put in, one day we were in there looking at some other things, and we were standing where the field is, and there was one panel that was not installed yet. So you had the sun coming in directly through this one panel. Then you had the sun coming through the ETFE. It was John Wood, the executive from Mortenson, commented to me. He said, look at the difference. Like, stand here. Now let's go stand over there. Where the first of all, you could see the sun and clouds through that ETFE. But it really kind of diffused the light and the heat. And it just was much softer. And when you moved over to where there was nothing and that direct sun came in, it was a whole different feel. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be really amazing, and I think it's really a Minnesota version of a outdoor feeling in a facility. That along with those doors that will open and let fresh air in. I think it's going to be sort of the Minnesota version of being outside, yet climate controlled, if you will. So,
wonderful. Anybody else have any questions? How many of you have been on a tour of the stadium recently? Just like in the Representative Hoppy, how long ago was it?
A month ago.
Okay. You guys too?
A couple weeks ago.
Wonderful. I would love, I mean, it's been probably, the topping off party is the last time I was there when we put the last beam in.
We are more than happy to do that. Yeah. If anyone would like a tour, we've got.
I think it's important.
Mortensen has been really great about helping us organize groups to be able to come in to take a look at particular things. So I'd be more than happy to follow up on that. Get a date.
Yes, thank you, Ms. Kelmhagen, because I think it's important for this commission to have that feeling of, number one, seeing how many people are employed there. Mm-hmm. That is just incredible. It's so good for the state. And number two, just the size and breadth of that building and the feel, the Minnesota feel, how unique it is. Mm-hmm. It really should be something that perhaps we could do a commission tour on.
Sure.
That if we could
I'd
get that arranged. Senator Bonner.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I was meeting with Mr. Bagley for an informational meeting to ask some questions that I had from the previous hearing, and it just so happened we were able to join in and go through a tour. And the moment that we were walking in was when the shift was ending, and so all of the construction people who were working on the stadium were coming out as we were going in, and I was shocked by the droves of people just,
I imagine.
It was clearly employing many, many, many good Minnesota people during that time, and they were also happy. You know, they were kind of acting as ambassadors, and they were clear we were coming in for a tour, and they were very welcoming. It was great.
Ambassadors, and they're very proud of the building.
Very proud,
right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I think Representative Dean's question was very good, actually, too. So if you can get that information, that'd be wonderful.
Absolutely.
Anything else? You will be available for questions?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, wonderful.
Thank you,
Ms. Kelmhagen. With that, we will bring up Mr. Lester Bagley from the Vikings, and he'll give us an update from his perspective. Welcome, Mr. Bagley.
Madam Chair, members, thank you for the opportunity. Excited to be here. Excited to be here when the Vikings are playing so well. And so a little commercial, if you will. We're 8-5. We have a very exciting team. And we have a coach who's a great defensive-minded coach and a great young quarterback, and Adrian Peterson's back. And so we're 8-5 right now. We're two games ahead of every other contender for the last wild card spot. So there are three games left. We're two games ahead. So if we win two more games, well, that guarantees us a playoff berth. So that's where we're focused right now. The organization's very excited about this young team and where we're headed.
And excuse me, Mr. Bagley.
Yes.
You can tell that there is a difference in that coaching staff.
Yes.
I was listening to Mike Morris last night, and there is a no-nonsense, the team's happy, there's no underlining dissension, or it's game on with him. It's a tight coaching staff with a tight team.
Yeah. Thank you, Madam Chair. So with that, with a little commercial out of the way.
just
a couple of quick updates on the organization and then into the stadium, and then certainly answer any questions that you may have. And you know, one of the things that we talked about for many years at the Capitol is about the strength of the following of the Vikings, and that holds true today. We have among the highest TV ratings in the NFL. We have a really strong following, and right now we have historic highs in viewership of our games. Right now we're third in the league, and we're averaging a 69 share, which means 69% of the televisions that are turned on Sunday are tuned to the Vikings. So those are huge numbers, and they've been consistent all the way through the season.
What have they been in the past? What's the average?
usually in the 60s, you know, still, you know, 60, 61, 62, but these 69 share, and we've had several games that were the number one ranked game in the league, 73, 72%. So they're huge numbers, and just again a huge following in the Minnesota, throughout the state, as well as the Upper Midwest. And since we talked about it at the Capitol, in years past, our digital and social media, you know, if those who follow the team, if you follow Vikings.com, you'll see that we have some great content. We have a great Vikings Entertainment Network and photographer, and so we provide exclusive video access to our team. And we, again, really have a strong following. We're top three in the NFL for video, and top five in photo view. So people are really, again, love the inside look at the team. And our Facebook followers, Twitter, Instagram are all huge numbers. So the following continues. In addition to the popularity, just and the stadium effort and the 2015 season, we're also begun work on the Egan development, where we have signed a purchase agreement for 194 acres in Egan, where we are intending to, assuming that we clear the due diligence, we are intending to build a team headquarters and practice facility. And right now at Eden Prairie, we have about 12 acres, and this team headquarters practice facility site has about 30 dedicated to the headquarters, so almost 2.5 times the size. And just an opportunity to have a great location close to downtown St. Paul, downtown Minneapolis, on 494 Beltway, just 5 minutes from the airport. So a really good location. We worked hard with the city of Eden Prairie to find an opportunity there, but we couldn't find the right size piece of property. But some exciting developments coming there. Would have been nice maybe to take a little bit of time off to get the stadium open before we jumped into this, but no, we're going to jump into the team headquarters. But it's going to be a great, very fan-friendly, open to the public and the community. And more updates on that as it evolves. And to the stadium, you know, where we've had just, you know, as Michelle said, we've had tremendous interest in the stadium from our website, EarthCam, where you can follow the progress from your computer. 10.7 million page views. If you go to Vikings.com, you can click on the stadium and you can follow, as a lot of our fans do. So 10.7 million page views in 2 years. But recently, we had NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell in town for the Green Bay game, and he did a fan forum at our preview center. But he also visited our practice facility in Egan, and he took a tour of the stadium. And he was blown away with the look, as you guys have discussed, the look and the feel of the facility. And it's really going to be a very intimate, very great fan experience, and they could tell that because they've been into all the stadiums and they're very excited about it. So we've got two thumbs up from Commissioner Goodell in what we're doing in Minnesota with the practice facility, the stadium, the way our team is playing. So things are on the rise for the Viking organization. We've also had, working with Michelle Kelm-Helgen and Mortensen, we've invited the national media, so every game we have. And if you've watched our games, you've probably seen some of the coverage. We invite the Fox or CBS or ESPN or NFL Network broadcasters into our building to get an update and get a tour if they'd like. And really strong interest and so really great feedback from the national media on the stadium, as well as Minnesotans who've had the chance to get in there. We've also worked hard to develop Minnesota partners with obviously U.S. Bank and the naming rights partner, Medtronic with the Plaza, Medtronic Plaza sponsorship, Land O'Lakes, Polaris, and there's some other Minnesota companies in the works. Those are the companies to date that have partnered and are excited about the franchise and about the building and about the opportunity to be part of it. As you've discussed with Michelle, the vision and the goal for the stadium was the indoor-outdoor stadium, the stadium for all seasons, and this shows the five pivoting doors on the west side that are the largest in the world, and then combined with the roof, the clear roof, 60% clear roof, gives it that exciting and Minnesota feel that we're very, very excited about. And, you know, the inside of the stadium, you know, most of the premium is on the south side there on the left with the view of downtown. And you, when you stand at that east plaza and look out, you can start to get the feel for what this building is going to be like. The intimate, how close and how tight it's going to feel, and how intimate and how much of a great fan experience it's going to be. It's the seats on the right are the retractable seats. Those are closer than any in the NFL. And the suites on the left, on the south side, are those turf suites, which are closer to any suite in the NFL. So close to the action, a very intimate bowl, a great scoreboard system. They're the 10th largest in the league, but we think they're ideal at their location. They're right in the end zone, right in your natural line of sight. So it's not like Dallas where you have to look up to see the largest big screen TV in the world. You get to actually see a big screen video board that's right in your natural line of sight. So we're very excited about the fan experience.
Mr. Bagley.
Sure.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a quick question on I'm new to this commission here, the roof, and does snow slide off of that? Is that the plan?
Yes, and when we collectively with Representative Scott, Madam Chair, when collectively the Stadium Authority and the Vikings hired HKS, the architect, their job number one was to get the snow off the roof, and so the angle of the roof and there's a catch basin, a snow basin, there are kind of a gutter system all the way around where the snow will slide off and drop into the gutters and then break up and melt and go down the drain. So but the angle of the roof and the focus of the engineers and the architect was to get the snow off the roof and that was part of the initial design and mission for the architect from day one.
Oh, Senator Bonner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. One of the questions I've had since the partners have been announced, and I really am grateful for our community partners. I think they really have stepped up to support this enterprise, and I applaud that and appreciate it. But I just am curious as to the terms of that, and I have asked Mr. Bagley, and I haven't really been able to find out that because the contracts are private contracts. Yet I remember when we all negotiated this deal and some of us, you know, questioned the naming rights as being considered part of the team contribution, and that is how that happened. And so that I'm not disputing that, but I still would just say for the record that I think it would be interesting if we as commission members could understand the detail of the finances such that we really did understand what goes into that private contribution in terms of things like the naming rights and perhaps some other things as well.
Senator Bonoff, the only thing I can remember, of course this has been almost 3 years ago, is that whatever was negotiated in the bill was nothing out of the ordinary from other
correct
other stadiums, and what is standard mode of operation from the NFL. And I do believe that those contracts are, the details, I think, are really hard to ask for that. But I don't believe there was anything that was out of the ordinary.
Well,
Mr. Bagley.
Yeah, Madam Chair, Senator Bonoff, appreciate the feedback on that. And we've had a long, our ongoing discussion about the stadium and the financing and the naming rights, and maybe just to take a step back to, because Ms. Kelm-Helgen talked about the Vikings investment versus the private investment versus the public investment, and the public has remained at 498 since the stadium bill passed in May of 2012, and since then the Vikings investment has increased $100 million and roughly and growing. As part of the team's investment, which was $477 million, when the bill passed in 2012, an additional 100 million plus since then, the part of that agreement, in addition, there's one other point that I wanted to make sure that the group understood, the committee understands, and that's the ongoing investment. The Vikings, $10 million annually, broken down to $8.5 million in rent and $1.5 million in capital contribution. That $10 million annually, which escalates at 3% annually, is the highest rent in the NFL. So the agreement that we struck with the state and the legislature was $477 million and $10 million annually. In exchange for that, as per the debate and testimony and negotiation and agreement, that the team would keep the naming rights. And it is traditional in virtually every NFL stadium, the naming rights does stay with the team. And it's perhaps simply because sponsors buy naming rights to be associated with the NFL and with the Vikings, and that's why it was sort of in that, you know, in that category of team, so it just in terms of the negotiation into Senator Bonoff's question or point, the terms were not disclosed, and it was an agreement between the Vikings and U.S. Bank to not disclose those terms.
Madam Chair.
Senator Bonoff.
Thank you, Mr. Bagley. I appreciate that. And we had this conversation privately. I thought it was worth raising it on the record just so that discussion was part of the record. And I do recall and confirm that we were clear all the other NFL teams also had those naming rights as part of their share. So thank you.
So a couple other points, if I could, Madam Chair,
and then
and regarding the additional Vikings investment of $100 million plus since the legislation passed, much
Mr.
of that.
Mr. Bagley.
Yes.
Senator Thomason.
Madam Chair, and Mr. Bagley, just to Senator Bonoff's point, I don't know what's private about it because the Sports Business Journal reported it was worth $220 million over 25 years, so I don't know if that's accurate or not, but I got a funny feeling.
Madam Chair, Senator Tomasoni, I would say that's a guess and not a great one, but that's not accurate. But in terms of that additional investment that we have made since the bill passed, it's and again excess of $100 million. It's been primarily the fan experience. We've invested in additional elevators, escalators. We've invested in additional technology like televisions. You know, from increasing the number from 800 in the stadium to 2,000 stadium-wide. There were cost increases for the operable doors, and we invested in those. Wi-Fi technology, sports lighting. So all those investments are fan experience, and all those investments also will benefit every Minnesotan, every person that comes into the stadium for whatever event, whether it be a Viking game or a soccer game or a baseball game or the NCAA Final Four. All those who attend those events will benefit from those additional team investments.
Mr. Bagley.
Yes.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I guess this is more of a comment than it is a question, and I have to take off on Senator Bonoff's inquiries about, you know, making some of this information public. My concern is that the taxpayers of the state of Minnesota have financed nearly half of the stadium, and it seems to me like it would be, you know, in their best interest, and it seems like they should be entitled to know what some of these contracts are going for. So that's all I wanted to say. Just put that on the record. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Scott. The part of the additional investment has gone into the Downtown East Commons. We've been working with the City of Minneapolis and with the group, the Green Minneapolis Committee, which is raising the money and designing this park. This is the image of the commons and with the stadium on the east side on the right, with the great lawn being on one block on the right and a good lawn, a smaller green area on the left. But this park as commons has a approximately $23 million budget, and we've made a significant commitment to that, and we're still sort of ironing out the pledge agreement on that, but it's in addition to the outside of the stadium, we've invested in the Downtown East Commons. We also agreed to help the city and partners help by introducing them to some of our partners to help raise money for that publicly owned space. The Metro Transit Pedestrian Bridge is an additional investment outside of the stadium that, the Vikings have made. It's roughly a $10 million cost. We've agreed to put in $6 million. This is an image of it, maybe not a great one, but it's. But the point here is that there's with 66,000 people at the stadium on game day, we felt it was important, an important safety issue and an important fan experience issue, to make sure people could get over the LRT tracks with trains coming almost every 2 minutes from either direction, this being the connecting point for the Hiawatha and the Central Corridor lines. So the Vikings also stepped up and participated in this solution. Again, a benefit to all people and all attendees for any event at the stadium. This shows there'll be an ADA elevator, and there'll be stairway on either side, 30-foot wide walkway, where, again, here's a way to get fans to the west side. When the game's over, getting to the west side, where 60 to 70% of our fans will come from in terms of parking and access. So here's an opportunity to help with that, a safety issue, and, again, the fan experience. Last couple things just on the game day experience. We're working with the city of Minneapolis not only on the commons funding but also on this tailgating proposition. As Downtown East area gets more developed, the surface parking lots go away, and those surface parking lots have been the location of tailgating in the past. So we've got a certain percentage of our fans, somewhere in the 8,000 to 10,000 range of our fan base that love the tradition of tailgating, get there early, park their car, and so we've been working with the city of Minneapolis to try to expand that tailgate zone, where as the opportunities shrink with surface lots going away, trying to find locations where our fans can have that pregame and postgame activity. In addition, along with the Stadium Authority, the Vikings have worked with Hennepin County to lease the Medical Examiner property right across Chicago Avenue from the stadium. It's important because it's on the east side of the LRT track, so it's connected to Medtronic Plaza, it's connected to the stadium and the fan experience, and we're working on a game day hospitality event our game day hospitality tent that can have our pregame activities, which will be available for Stadium Authority and other events at the stadium, and more on that as that evolves. But we've just signed a 30-year lease. The Stadium Authority signed a 30-year lease with Hennepin County for that property. Last couple points, our legacy ship. There was some news recently about the legacy ship, and this is an amenity that the Vikings are investing in, and it's inspired by the legendary Vikings longship. It's a photo of it here, but the actual sail is a 2,000 square foot curved LED board, so they'll be able to run event information, game highlights, even other games that are ongoing or earlier games or late games. If you see the ship's figurehead at the top, it's 43 feet high. It's a dragon with a Norseman with a purple eyes that will glow, and there's a water feature, more of a dried ice feature that'll have theatrical smoke and entertainment. But it's designed for fans to, like the glove at Target Field, where you can sit in the glove with your kids, or it's an opportunity for fans to engage and to get pictures. And there's a 55 foot long front section that includes that black granite, which is to show the waves. But it's an opportunity for fans to participate on game day. And the other point about it is these commemorative bricks. Those folks who have purchased the brick from the Stadium Authority and the team, to have their name or their family's name on it, those bricks will occupy about 3,500 square feet of the ship's deck. So it's located in the southwest corner. So where the old marquee was on 6th Street, kind of right across from Hubert's. Representative Hoppy probably knows where that is. So that's the legacy ship. Last thing is just the art collection, which you may have heard a little bit about as well. And, you know, we have an exciting project, again, privately funded to showcase local artists in the stadium on both Vikings history, Minnesota sports moments, but also other regional highlights. So we put the call for artists out. We had 1,100 responses or submissions. The 49ers did something similar. They had 300 entries. So very, very popular. We've been working with the local art community. The collection will be about 200 pieces of original artwork, about 350 pieces of photography, and then wall graphics like murals and such. And so you can see on your in the presentation the various groups that have participated, 40 artists, 34 of whom are local. We're working with the Minneapolis Institute of Arts. We're working with the College of Art and Design with students, and Star Tribune, Pioneer Press, Thomson Reuters for historical photographs. Some of our former players have participated in the art collection. So, again, an opportunity to invest in the stadium for the fan experience. A couple of slides of the arts. This is a local artist who focused on venues and events. There's a concept here of a 100-foot-long rendition of why and who's from Minnesota. It's I Am Minnesota, and it's got various icons from our state as well as individuals.
Mr. Bagley?
Yes.
Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Bagley, what do you mean exactly by a couple of the Viking players are participating in the arts?
We have Senator.
Did they draw something?
Madam Chair, Senator Thomasoni, we have some former Vikings, Alan Page, I think is Jim Marshall, Carl Eller, Matt Blair, who are artists who have gone on from their football careers to create original art, and so we've included those former Vikings in the call for artists, and they have submitted some very interesting pieces that will be in the stadium as well.
For example, Jim Marshall's wife was saying how Jim Marshall would they would tape their hands, and he would always put an eagle. Was it
an eagle?
Eagle on his hands, and maybe somewhere around here. And in the pictures, the old pictures, you can see this eagle that he drew. And so we're commissioning him or working with him to do something for the stadium. It's kind of fun. Mr. Bagley.
Yeah. Madam Chair, Senator Thomasoni, we'll have an art opening. We'll certainly invite you so you can see some of the art.
Get cultured.
And get some culture. I know you got plenty up in Chisholm. But that's my testimony, Madam Chair.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you, Mr. Bagley. Is there any questions? Yes, Representative.
Madam Chair, I just have one question for Mr. Bagley. So in looking at the image of the stadium where there's the clear roof, that appears to be facing somewhat south, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And I'm assuming there were light studies, and fans aren't going to have, like, the sun in their eyes in an afternoon game and not be able to see the game, are they?
Madam Chair, Representative Dean, no, you're correct. It is the south side. There's sort of the interior shot that shows the left side of the south side. There were sun studies, and so 12 o'clock noon on Sunday for the bulk of our games, the sun will be at its high point, and we would try to minimize shadows. But as Ms. Kelm-Halligan testified, there is a muted effect. When you're in there, first of all, it feels very bright on a noon, at noon on any given day. It feels very bright, very open, and the fritting that's in this ETFE material, there's these dots. It's called fritting, and what it prevents the harmful rays from getting through. It also mutes the direct sunlight, so it'll not be, that's a very important question that we wanted to make sure that we had the balance between keeping our fans warm in colder months and keeping them cool in August when the preseason starts. So it's an important question, but the sun studies were done, and very important. The engineers looked at this. The Vector Foil Tech is the company out of France that designed this technology. We're very involved in the sun studies and the installation, and then the fritting again protects the fans from the harmful rays and at the same time provides that indoor outdoor experience that we're looking for.
Mr. Bagley, how much is your Eagan development? What is the investment in that? You said it's 194 acres, but right. I didn't hear the.
Madam Chair, the Eagan development is it depends on what level. If we had to show a max build, a maximum build out scenario, which could be as much as 3 million square feet of development. Besides the 30-plus acre team headquarters, there's also mixed use potential: hotel, conference center, corporate office, retail. Housing, so all that together is as much as 3 million square feet. And if we developed that 3 million square feet, it could be as much as $400 to $500 million of investment.
Representative Swodzinski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's all right.
I did.
Mr. Bagley, just kind of a question, kind of going down the lines of some of the security. Precautions. You know, we've had some stuff going on in Paris and just, you know, from a large facility standpoint, you know, with some of those things going, how has that changed some of that outlook potentially, and also just from design changing, has some things going on and just from that perspective, that's been on the radar.
Yeah, Madam Chair, Representative Swodzinski, yes, that is an important element, and we're actually in those discussions right now. Again, the Vikings and the Stadium Authority working on the security investment and where, you know, how fans enter the building, what types of security technology, magnetometers. The NFL has traditionally been very forward-thinking about security, and we have a very strict bag policy and access, and we've had some challenges at TCF Bank Stadium working with the university and their security to get people into the game because it was a backup because of the intense scrutiny from all the events that are going on internationally and even locally. It's a very important issue, and I think, again, Ms. Kelm-Helgen can speak to this, but we're working right now on the right solution, the right investment, and magnetometers where you actually wand people and you actually, rather than just, you know, visual or check the bag or check your coat. So there's a strong focus working with the NFL, working with the Stadium Authority, working with local law enforcement and our organization. So it's a huge issue that we're working on right now. And that maybe in the next meeting we can provide more of an update as where that comes out.
Mr. Beckley, can you two again remind me, what is the dollar investment around the stadium? I know Ms. Kelm-Helgen went through that. Was it over $2 billion?
Yeah, in 2014, Madam Chair, in 2014, the City of Minneapolis pulled more than $2 billion in building permits in a big, large percentage of that was in the downtown east area, and there's a number of investments from the Ryan project, Wells Fargo, HCMC. There's a number of hotels that are being discussed. Krauss Anderson's got a development of their headquarters. So there's advocated for many years at the Capitol we advocated and that there was going to be a return, that there's going to be national and international events with the Super Bowl and the Final Four. There's going to be development in this part of Minneapolis, which hasn't occurred, and that there would be jobs and economic benefit. And I think that this stadium project has produced in excess of what we advocated for many years at the Capitol, but the development, the stadium was clearly the catalyst. As soon as the stadium legislation passed in 2012, and it was helped by a good development economy, real estate market, people began to, and developers began to buy property and start to plan, led by the Ryan Company, Wells Fargo Development, where they'll bring 5,000 employees downtown Minneapolis. And so it's a significant number, and I think, again, Ms. Kelm-Helgen has the listing of all the developments that have been spurred by the stadium. Notice how I keep handing off to her so she can come back and take the hard questions.
Well, you, the Vikings, and you and the city have been wonderful partners along with the state, and I hope that we can perhaps get a tour of the stadium before we get into session, because it'll be game on when session starts.
Right.
And if you can arrange that would be wonderful for all of us. That'd be great. So any other further questions for Mr. Bagley? Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you. Sure.
And with that, anybody have any comments? We're going to move right into passing of the gavel. And I just want to read the legislation that was passed dealing with this, the Legislative Commission on Minnesota Sports Facilities. It says a chair serves a two-year term, expiring in the odd-number year after a successor is elected. The chair must alternate biennially between the Senate and the House of Representatives. So with that, Senator Champion, it's been an honor to serve with him. We kind of dressed alike. I don't know if you guys noticed that this morning.
By accident.
We didn't call each other, but but it truly has been an honor to serve with you. And I was thinking, and I hope you're just open to debate, if we could go ahead and just do a slate and then vote on just a slate. Senator Thompson.
As in, Madam Chair, if I were to nominate Representative Hoppe and Representative Dean as the co-chairs, and Senator Rosen and Senator Champion as the co-vice chairs, and vote on it as a slate. Is that what you're talking about?
That's exactly what I'm talking about, Senator Thomas.
Okay, then I will move that we elect Representative Hoppe and Representative Dean as the co-chairs, and Senator Rosen and Senator Champion as the co-vice chairs.
Wonderful. Representative Scott.
I don't have any further nominations. I just have a question, and I did briefly ask you before we got started here, but why are we doing like the vice co-chairs? Is that what's the necessity of doing something like that?
And I will allow Senator Champion to comment on that. As the author of the bill, it was, and 2 years ago when we started this, I was in the minority at that time. So it was important to have a co-chair situation where Senator Champion serving on the other side and myself, we felt, and of course he serves the area of where the stadium's at, and Representative Dean serves the other side of that, and just thought that it would be just a nice gesture to keep the author involved, keep the senator who represents that area involved, and perhaps there is no other underlining reason for it at all.
Madam Chair, as the maker of the motion, I would say that we could potentially have a quorum without the two chairs being here. So we should have co-chairs so we know who can run the meeting.
That's very good, Senator Thompson. Yeah. Do you have any comments,
Champion? No, I don't have any other comments. I'll leave it at that.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Varner.
Madam Chair, I appreciate the bipartisan nature of doing it that way.
Okay, thank you.
I'll second the nomination.
Thank you, Representative Scott. Further comments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Thank you very much. With that,
at the next meeting, they will have to call the meeting and get us all together.
What's everybody doing tomorrow?
I think we should, Madam Chair, I think we should have the next meeting in one of those hearing rooms up at the new stadium.
The Purple Club.
Yeah, the Purple Club.
The Purple Club. Can you arrange that? Mr. Chairs, that'd be great if you could have that. That would be wonderful. And it truly has been an honor to serve on this commission, and I continue to look forward to the service and actually to the big party that's going to happen in August. So, and there will be a big party, I'm sure, celebration of a very good relationship for the betterment of the state. It's a great stadium, and we should be very proud. So with that, any further questions?
I just want to say it's been a pleasure to serve with you as chair, and I thank you for all the work that you've done on this.
That meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you.